Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest tonight is coming to town to play a show at The Mid this Saturday night. He's one of the best DJs working in trance and house music, and his name is Paul Oakenfold.
Once again, I find myself with my friends. Dance till the night away, it's like the party never ends. Then again, we don't want it to stop, cause tonight's the night. It goes sweatbox, laser beam, flashing lights. Wild cards, men from Mars, dressed in stars and stripes. Eclectic, electric, ladies of the evening. Drinking booze and mingling. Mashing to the music, I could do anything. Freaky deaky stars, speckles and pink butterflies. And life is nice, so nice. I walk into a club and I found paradise. I'm seeing stars, I can't believe my eyes.
I'm seeing stars.
Oh my, starry eyed surprise. Sundown to sunrise. Dance all night, we gonna dance all night. Sugar, dance all night to this DJ. Oh my, starry eye surprise. Sunday on the sunrise. Dance all night, we gonna dance all night. Dance all night to this DJ. Sugar, dance all night to this DJ. Dance all night to this DJ. I love a dance all night to this DJ.
Paul Oakenfold has a new album coming out this summer called Pop Killer. He's been around music his whole life, from the early days as a label rep to his days as a producer for U2, Madonna, just to name a few, to his DJ work taking on trance and electronic music, taking it mainstream. Oakenfold is a true pioneer who finds himself among the greatest DJs of all time, and it is my pleasure to have Paul Oakenfold as my guest tonight in a download. Paul Oakenfold, thanks for being here.
Well, that's some introduction. Thank you very much, sir.
I mentioned that you grew up in music. Talk about not only, as a childhood, how you were at first shown music, but also your first forays into DJing.
Well, I mean, yeah, just to give you a little bit of an intro, my father was a musician, so you're right, I grew up around it. Many musicians would come over, hang out at the house, so I was always around it. I then got into a band myself and at 16, and I thought the band were a good band. To be honest, we weren't, and that's what led me into DJing, really. And from then onwards, I've always loved playing and sharing music, and DJing was the way forward for me. Even though I do a lot of production, make a lot of my own music, and play a lot of my own music, I always enjoy DJing and sharing other people's music as well.
Mm-hmm. And there, the story goes that in the late 70s, you started DJing and spinning funk.
Strangely enough, funk, American funk, was very popular in Britain. So at 16, 17, 18, when I was getting in really into music, that's the sound that was popular where I was living in South London.
When you came here, you spent some time in New York City in the 80s. You weren't necessarily, came here to be an artist, but you started by working in the music industry. Talk about that.
I was working with Profile Records. I'd run DMC, Def Jam, had Public Enemy and Beastie Boys. And so I was very much within in music on that side of it. I was very much all about hip-hop music at that time. So I was very honestly really into it.
You've made your name as being a DJ, being a house musician, also electronic music, trance. When did you make that transition? I mean, you had a life that you were into funk music. You also, spent time in hip-hop with the bands you just mentioned. When did you make that transition into more of dance music?
Well, in 87, we went to an island called Ibiza.
Of course.
And that's where the birth of electronic music really happened. Myself and a few colleagues, we went to that island. We got really into the spirit and the energy. We came back, all started clubs in London, and that was the real beginning of Acid House that turned into what we now know as electronic music / EDM.
You have made your name at clubs like Ministry of Sound and Cream in London. You know, it was all about the residency. Talk about the residency when it comes to DJs, because that's something that you and your career, you've really reached out towards. You're not just a DJ that tours around. You've really sort of given yourself to the idea of the residency.
Yeah, and the true residency is someone who's there every week and for literally for the year. And that's when you really mold a club in terms of the music, the sound. You get regulars who come back and like what you're doing, and you play much longer sets, 3 to 4 hour sets, where you can take people on a journey, and you establish a sound for that residency. And That's what I learned very early on when I had my residencies at Ministry of Sound and Cream. And then when I came to America and I did my residency in Vegas from 2008, for 2.5 years I was there, and wow, every Saturday, forming a sound and a whole look on what we were doing at the Palms Casino back in the day.
Yeah. You mentioned that. You mentioned, you know, being able to craft a journey for the person in the club, for the listener. That's really what electronic music does well, is you know, putting together a long set.
It really does.
And what draws you to that? Because that seems to be different than maybe, you know, a single here and a single there. A set actually is all about the journey.
Yeah. Well, it's the structure, arrangement. It's the true art of a DJ. It's really what DJ's really all about, and how he can take you on a musical journey. Some tracks you know, some you don't. You find yourself in a place where you're like, wow, I never thought I'd be dancing to this record. There's the climax. There's the whole structure of that period, whether it's 3 or 4 hours, is really important. And for the clubber to let go and feel the music rather than just listening to the individual tracks, that's what a true DJ does. I mean, that's what true club DJs do anyway.
We're speaking with Paul Oakenfold. I mean, you're a legend in the game. Do you miss that intimacy? I mean, you're going to be playing the Mid this weekend, but I mean, for you, you can play, I mean, at the biggest festivals where there's 75,000, 100,000 people there. Do you miss the intimacy of those early days at Cream and that idea of building a set and having the clubber have a journey?
Yeah, listen, I'm very fortunate that, you know, and I enjoy playing the big festivals and the bigger gigs, but if I had to choose one, it would be a small club, great sound system, wonderful crowd in a dark room, and playing 3 or 4 hours to 500 people, and really taking you on a musical journey, and just all of us getting lost in music and having a wonderful time and feeling and expressing yourself. That's what it's really all about.
DJs now, electronic EDM DJs, you know, they can play. Spring Awakening's coming up here at Soldier Field. Like, you're playing bigger and bigger and bigger stages. It's not about the club anymore. But you were one of the first DJs to actually get out of the club and get on stage when you're warming up for a U2 or a Madonna and getting in front of huge audiences. How did you make that transition as a DJ?
I got asked to support both those acts that you named, and they came to me and were like, would you, you know, want to support us? So I started working on special sets for those guys. You know, I mean, U2 is obviously a rock band, so I'm not going to play underground electronic music. So I did a lot of remixes with Chili Peppers, Lenny Kravitz, bands like that, with electronic undertones, but still keeping the integrity of the artist. And with Madonna, when I was working with her with production and a lot of the other pop, more familiar pop acts, Justin Timberlake, those kind of mainstream acts, I would have a lot of electronic overtones, so it would work really well. You'd know it was me, but you'd still keep, as I said, the integrity of the artist, and it would work as me being a support act for those artists on tour.
You know, you're one of the, as I mentioned, one of the pioneers, but you're also one of the giants of this musical genre. And right now, you're seeing such a transition where DJs are, like I said, I mean, they're headlining huge festivals. Was it difficult for you to go out of the DJ booth and get on stage and have to do that kind of show, the show that's the more prominent kind of show that we see in EDM today?
Well, those shows of today, I mean, you only, first and foremost, these EDM shows, you only get an hour.
Right.
And I think the audience just want to hear the obvious big tunes. It's difficult to do something within an hour. So, I mean, it's a completely different focus now when you're playing EDCs or the bigger events, Soldier Fields, etc.
But there's so much more that goes into the stagecraft of that. You know, I saw Dash Berlin not too long ago, and it was just lights and sound and everything everywhere.
It's all about the production and just getting to the big tunes. So, you know, the crowd jumping up and down.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really a moment to take them on a journey on those big events.
Right. We've seen with some of the big acts, the DJ acts, your peers, your contemporaries, you're seeing some of them. Avicii said he's going to retire, that at 28 years old, that he wants out of the game because he can't really keep up with the party lifestyle that surrounds the music. For you, how do you deal with that?
Line.
Yeah, how do you deal with that?
Well, because I don't party as much. That's pretty much the answer. I mean, look, it's a fine line. It's important to take care of yourself when you are on the road as much as my fellow DJs are. But I think it's all about balance. You know, it's wonderful. We're very lucky to travel the world and meet and experience so many things. But you've obviously, to be able to do that, it takes a certain person, I think, to be able to live on the road and every day get on a plane, go to a different city, check in a hotel, be up all night and do the same the next day. Mm-hmm. It takes a certain person, I think, who can cope with that. And maybe a lot of the younger DJs who are getting into it don't understand that yet. That comes with experience and knowledge of knowing how to tour, like anything, really.
Right, right. Like any musician, right?
Experience really does come into it when you know how to move a dance floor, to knowing when to play a certain track, the arrangement of how you put your music together, and you're not just there to entertain. You're also there to educate. It's not like I'm going to play all the same music you're going to hear on the radio. What's the point of booking me? You might as well just turn on the radio.
Right.
So that's the responsibility that comes with the performance. And, you know, and the crowd that come are very, very important. They're very savvy. They don't want to just hear the same old tracks. I mean, you know, there's no point in that. I think times have changed now, and we're all looking for a bit more.
For you, I mean, you got a new record coming out here, Pop Killer. The new single is coming out too, You Are, which is with Brooklyn and Amber Shepherd. I'm interested in how your music has evolved over the decades, because, you know, you've done everything from great trance music. You've done soundtracks for The Matrix 2 and Born Identity and those kind of movies. Where is your music evolving to? Because we see on the radio now, summer tracks are almost exclusively EDM DJs like and producers like Skrillex and Diplo and other people like that. I mean, do you see yourself moving in that direction where you're going to be more pop music than you have been in the past?
The thing is, it takes me a lot longer to make artist records. So my first artist record, I had a top five pop record in America and in England with Starry Eyed Surprise.
Right, of course.
I then did Ready, Steady, Go. I recorded Faster Kill Pussycat with Brittany Murphy. What's kind of changed for me is I grew up, as I said at the beginning of the interview, on songs. My father was very much in a contemporary rock band that was based around songs and great singers. And that's very difficult for me to do because I'm not a songwriter. As much as I've learned to write songs, I still don't class myself as a great songwriter, and I certainly can't sing. So that's why it takes me a lot longer to make artist records, because I do a hell of a lot of collaborations. And that's the basis and the soul of my artist albums. So that hasn't changed over the 10, 12 years of making artist albums for me. What's changed is pop electronic music has been thrust into the mainstream world, and it's become pop music. So that's the difference. So when my album does come out, my third artist album, it's no different in respect of its great singers, its wonderful songs, and its cutting-edge beats. What's changed, as I said, is we now live in the pop world. So it will be perceived as more of a mainstream record.
But you're absolutely right. You've been doing it all along. I mean, as we mentioned at the beginning, you're a pioneer. Paul Oakenfold, DJ extraordinaire, will be on stage at The Mid on Saturday night here in Chicago. The Mid is over on Halstead and Fullerton. That's a great club.
It's a wonderful club, and it really allows you as the DJ to go play underground music, be really creative, and it's one of my favorites in America, so I'm very very lucky that they've invited me back, you know, again and again, and I'm so looking forward to it. I've got some great new music to share with everyone.
How great is that to see Paul Oakenfold at The Mid? Paul Oakenfold, thanks so much for being my guest tonight on The Download.
Much appreciated, and of course to the listener, much appreciated.